Thoughts on that, guys? I mean, they have a lessened left tackle situation. I mean, that's a good way to describe it, right? Lessened, made less, whatever. I mean, Eric Fisher, a number one overall pick last year, did decent on the right side. I don't know. Depends on who you ask, of course. But he's going to move over to the left side. So now you got a second-year player protecting your $10 million plus, doing the air quotes, quarterback and Alex Smith, depending on how you feel. And running backs tend to decline after turning a year where they're in, I don't know, 40%-ish of the offense. No, Weasel, don't bring up Adrian Peterson. He's an anomaly. He's a cyborg. Oh, by the way, if you happen to be a cyborg, does that violate the performance-enhancing rules of the NFL? I mean, I guess not. I don't know.
Okay. Like, say something about the Jamal Charles.
Don't like to. Just say it, baby.
All right. He's 27 now, which is, you know, relatively, you know, younger.
Yeah.
So he, in the past 2 years, let's see, 1,287 yards. You got a 5-yard average. 1,509 in 2012. 2013 had 12 touchdowns.
Right.
And 2012 had 5. He had, let's see, throughout his whole career, he averages at least 5 yards a carry, which is pretty ridiculous.
So, yeah, 5 yards a carry, that's pretty busy. I mean, look, Jim Brown, the great Jim Brown, averaged 6 yards a carry in his time, too. Jamal Charles is talking about 5 yards a carry, and oh, by the way, he's catching the ball out the backfield, too, for a lot of the passing contribution. He's kind of a big deal.
Ooh, this is interesting.
Bring it.
Receiving-wise, he had 7 touchdowns.
I'm just saying. So, but and look, we've talked about it in fantasy. You still have to draft him top 3 if you have the top 3 picks. I mean, Chris and I have this conversation, by the way. It's the plight of being a top, you know, having them 1 overall pick in your fantasy draft. You have to pick Adrian Peterson or LeSean McCoy, Jamar Charles, or risk being mocked for the rest of your life if your team does not make the playoffs. I'm just throwing that out there. Of course, you know, this is a problem none of us have. Even though some of us in this room who have lost or had losing records still make the playoffs, right, Weasel? Whatever. Weasel, still give you tribute.
Yeah, boy.
But seriously, with Brandon Albert being gone, Jamal Charles having to do so much last year, losing Dexter McCluster to the Tennessee Titans, I might add, I can't help but think that there's going to be a bit of a threat there with that offense trending down. The good thing is they still got a good defense, but that schedule is just a little bit more difficult. I don't know, guys, weigh in. What you got?
Well, at least the first half of the year, I think it was actually up to about week 10,
mm-hmm.
The Chiefs defense was playing ridiculously good.
Ridiculously good.
And I think the opponents were averaging about 17 to 19 points a game.
Yeah, they didn't give up more than 17 points in a game last year, first 9 games, until they played against Denver.
The last 6 games, though, I think each game was at least, I think 4 out of 6 or something like that, was at least 30 points given up.
Exposed like Janet Jackson in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I see what you're getting at. But what I'm also trying to say is this. Chris mentioned a very interesting point with that 17-point game being the most they allowed. There was one particular game they won by a single point over the Texans, who were looking at the former Chase. Oh, man, I don't believe I'm forgetting this guy's name right now. I knew it off the air. Now
Chase Daniels? Or?
No. Chase Daniels is the backup in
New Orleans.
KC.
Kansas City.
Yeah. No,
he was there.
But no, it was I'm losing it. Someone look it up real quick. But it was one where Schaub had gotten hurt towards the end of the game, and they brought in Case Keenum. There it is. Ha! Not Chase Case. Just in case. I'm on the case. I'm the one that remembered it. Come on, guys. Get faster fingers. No, but Case Keenum was in the game, and they still barely squeaked by that performance. They barely squeaked by Tony Romo and the Cowboys. That, too, I believe, was about a field goal or less. I want to say that was a 1-point game as well, but I don't think that's correct. But what I'm getting to is this. A lot of close scrapes with a lot of teams that were struggling, a lot of people are unimpressed. And then they lose pieces from this offense. Why am I to believe they're going to be any better this year? I mean, give me something. Anybody. I'm hearing an awful lot of
complaints.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to be better this year. that I actually think they're going to be taking a step back. Could have been like a fluke last year how they did it. I was pulling up, I'm trying to pull up their schedule right now, but they were 11-5 last year. They were 2-4 in division.
Right.
As much.
Yeah.
Four out of their five win, you know, or losses were in the division.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this year they play, they have the NFC West and the AFC East. Yeah. You know,
so
tough division, kind of easy division.
So, right, right. When we mentioned the West, until we heard news about Sam Bradford, we'll get into later, we would think that that's 4-0 right there for the West. That's
exactly.
Four games that the Chiefs are giving away, in my opinion.
Right.
But
and then they also still have the AFC West, too, the rest of their division. Which,
that, yeah, there's that. There's an improved, well, I mean, we don't want to talk too much about the West because we've got the rest of the West to talk about. But I will do this. We talked about we're talking about the Chiefs taking a step back. Let's call it, how big a step do they take back? What's the records you guys have for their overall wins and losses and their divisional wins and losses? Weasel.
I'll just say this first.
Oh, bring it.
They did lose, you know, McCluster. And we know about Dwayne Bowe.
Oh, yeah.
The number one wide receiver. He
suspended
another thing with, I guess it's marijuana, and one game suspension, and they need the guy for that wide receiver core. Alex Smith, he needs him. So I think he's just got to stay out of trouble. But he already got one game, and last year I think was four games for suspended for, I think it was the – substance, the enhancing
performance enhancing.
Yeah, I think so. He had four games there, so they need him.
Yeah, you mentioned they need him too with the receiver core. Okay, can anybody else mention a receiver, and only a receiver, so Tony Moiaki does not count? Name a receiver on this roster for the Chiefs. You can't look it up. If you do, I'll give you 10 points. What do you got? Anybody? Anybody? All right, Donnie Avery, you all lose. But. No, I looked it up before the show. But but in all seriousness, I think that speaks to your point, Weasel. Other than Dwayne Bowe, and I mean, he was throwing a lot of passes to the fullback, Sherman. Steve McGrath, the most epic tight end beard I've seen lately, was the big deal last year because of all the injuries they've had. I mean, yeah, Alex Smith is the king of the checkdown, and he can make anybody look good doing it. But a check down does not a game winner necessarily make. Now, it helps when your defense is, you know, has eight Pro Bowlers and doing fantastic things. But, as I said before, the theory has been thrown out there that they exploited a weaker schedule.
Now, I do believe that the Chiefs will be 9-7 and 3-3 in their division because, you know, you got the Chargers and the Raiders, too, so.
Well, right, and I mean, look, that's just an interesting division to play in general. I mean, they have Arrowhead on their side, but it ain't like Mile High is a simple place to go. Though Oakland is a bit intimidating, or at least it used to be at one point, you know. That's an interesting place to try to go. Hopefully it doesn't flood, you know, Qualcomm as well with the Chargers. I can't blame you for splitting. Chris?
I got them going 8-8 and then 3-3 in the division.
Chris Rankin, splitting it right down the middle. If you can sit on the fence in the NFL, he just did it.
Yes.
Me, I'm going to go a little bit worse than both y'all. I'm kind of the pessimist. I'm saying 7-9, 2-4 in the division. But as pessimists go, there's a whole lot of pessimism going in Oakland. See, that pessimism. You like that segue? Was that solid?
It worked.
But, you know, I'll say this. The fact that they have a quarterback that's thrown a football before, other than, like, in the college, what ranks as a utility player, kind of a good thing. But even Raiders fans are calling out Matt Schaub and his performance in the preseason thus far. Yeah, Matty Pitsix, that was an unfortunate situation in Houston last year. I mean, look, the guy's a good story. He made a living being Michael Vick's backup in Atlanta, rose up to become Houston's starter, was a member of the squad that won the franchise's first playoff game. Though he didn't actually play in it, that was T.J. Yates, the third stringer coming in behind Schaub and Matt Leinart. And then he gets his chance. People were talking Super Bowl for the Texans in 2013 in the preseason. Ouch. Yeah, not so much. That was that's rough. If there's any hope to be had for the Raiders, Chris, where would you put it?
picking up Maurice Jones-Drew in the offseason. You know, coming in, yeah, he's had some injuries the last few years, so is McFadden. So, I mean, if they can have one go for a little bit and get injured, they still have another one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, first of all, Mojo is a guy that's been hurt some in his career. Not just the shoulder injury from carrying the Jags franchise. Oh, thank you, thank you. But Darren McFadden, certainly. We all know about the sketchy nature of his past health, right? Bitter fantasy football player, Weasel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How many games has he actually played as a member of your fantasy squad starting? Is it less than 10? I'm just asking.
Yeah, he always plays week one and week two.
Yeah.
Something like it's less than 10. Weasel's pretty sure. That's part of the reason why you've had to back into the playoffs. You got cats like this getting hurt. It's not fair.
Yep.
Now you got you know smart asses like me trying to make fun of you and talk smack now. That's I'm kidding.
But going back to Shav, he actually hurt his elbow in the last preseason game he just played.
So it
might be looking like a rookie Derek Carr, who's actually moving up on the draft boards there late in the in April,
right,
before the draft. But yeah, his brother didn't do so well in the NFL either.
Yeah,
see how that goes.
Yeah, and he didn't do well when he came out as the first franchise quarterback for the Texans. But we can just keep bringing up the Texans, even though we're talking the West. Interesting how that works. But he didn't have a good line in Houston starting out that first year with the franchise. Now, the Raiders, I'll grant, in 2014, it seems like they're going to have a slightly better year than before. And I like the improvement on offensive line. I like what they've done with these running backs. But their rookie linebacker, Khalil Mack, he's a bright spot. But I still don't know about that offense. I don't know. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time beating this one, but we got Weasel.
It's just, you know, James Jones will be able to help out.
Yeah, well, former Packer, sure.
Yeah, just the health of, I guess, at least have one of them, either Maurice Jones-Drew or Darren McFadden, healthy. I mean, that's a great duo right there. So, but yeah, they got Derek Carr, which was possibly, he could be the future, but we shall see.
Well, I mean, it's Matt McGloin or Terrell Pryor previous to this point.
Terrell Pryor's not even on the roster right now.
Terrell Pryor's not even there, thank you, perfect. Yeah. I think he'll be a better decision for a backup than Tavares Jackson, sorry, Weaver. But we'll get to Seattle later. What I'm trying to say is now it's Matt McGloin or Derek Carr. That's murky. I hate to beat up on you, Oakland fans, but that's a rough place to be.
But, I mean, they got James Jones, but he's like the third receiver in.
Here's the one hope I would shine on the Raiders, and you guys have touched on the running core. And here's why I think that's going to work to where you'll get at least 8 games before Darren McFadden's out for the year. That's right, a sudden. First of all, Maurice Jones-Drew was a member of a very successful running back core in Jacksonville. Who was the other guy? Anybody?
Ah.
Weasel, you're fired. You should know that already. Chris.
Fred Taylor.
There you go. See, you did
back,
know that.
Back then, gotcha.
I knew you knew it. I knew you knew it. It's okay. But I put you on the spot. It's my bad. No, but with Fred Taylor, he was splitting time with Maurice Jones-Drew, made it through an entire season, and still had enough production to make the Pro Bowl for the first time as a 10th-year player. Now, he probably should have made a Pro Bowl sooner than that. I'm not here to talk about that. What I am here to talk about is this is the situation that I'd want to see happen. You got a player in Darren McFadden, kind of like Fred Taylor was in his day, although it wasn't as true, with a reputation for being injury-prone, which with McFadden, it's not just a reputation, it's a way of life. And now Maurice Jones-Drew is going to come along and split time with another guy. You get a little success running the football. You get guys trying to crowd the space. Then you get the quarterback, whoever it is, be it Carb. Carb. Nice. Wait, should I go on a diet for this quarterback? Derek Carb. That's right. He eats only potatoes and pasta. Anyways, Derek Carr throws over the top of the defense. Offense starts to produce. Does a little something. You got Khalil Mack, the rookie there on the line. There's hope. Carlos Rogers, the new corner. Maybe we get some defense going there.
They also added on defense linebacker Lamar Woodley and defensive end Justin Tuck.
Justin Tuck doesn't mess around. And we just laughed. You almost said a bad word.
Give me a second.
No. Wait a minute. Did he? Oh, he didn't. Okay, we're trying to behave over here. But no, you got Justin Tuck there upgrading that defense. I like that. Lamar Woodley, I mean, look, he's one of your team's former guys in the Steelers, man.
Yeah.
Yes, for those who don't know, I did say one of your teams to Weezo. He follows the Vikings and the Steelers. And, yes, we make fun of him all the time for more than one team. That's what we do here. If you want to make fun of him for that, at Weasel the SOTG. Thanks, Cal. Thanks a lot. from there, I like that they made – it's not that they made the wrong moves. They're just not complete yet. And their lack of completeness has me putting them at 4-12 on the year, 1-5 in the division. Chris.
I got them going worse. I got them going 2-14. I just don't. They have no offense. I think they have no offense at all. Right now, I got them. Their two wins are in the division, 2-4.
I got 5-11, 1-5 in the division.
I gotta ask, Chris, the two wins in the division, are they sweeping someone?
No.
Okay, I'm just checking because I'd hate to be that poor soul, whoever that's about to be. That is not a good time at all. I'm just saying. So yeah, that's pretty crazy. Next up, the Chargers. Now, guys, I made Philip the his nickname for me is Philip the Fraud Rivers until last year when I made him the most improved for 2013 according to the student game. Did an amazing job with offensive coordinator Mike McCoy. Excuse me, head coach Mike McCoy. I say offensive coordinator because he came from Denver as the offensive coordinator. But the point is this: completely revitalized as a quarterback in the NFL. Not playing a lot of teams this year with good defenses. I mean, heck, among the top defenses he's going to play is this revamped Broncos defense, which we'll get to here next. I didn't see them really add a lot. I would like to see them do more on defense. But I don't know that this team needed to. And they're also getting Malcolm Floyd back. Thank you for pointing that out too, Chris, on their offense. They've got Brandon Flowers from the Chiefs last year, who was Pro Bowl caliber DB. Hey, they didn't have to do a lot, but they still did some things to get better. I like that. I don't know. Weasel, Chargers, what you got?
Well, I think the rookie cornerback, Jason Verrett, should help out with that secondary. And they did take Brandon Flowers, but I kind of see him improving from last season. So
okay, you see, you got anything else to throw on that, Chris?
No, not on this.
Okay, well, I know, folks. It sounds like we're slacking on this team a little bit, but goodness gracious, it's not that different from last year. I'll grant, they'll have fewer, ACL injuries to deal with in this particular group's injury list. But at the end of the day, Keenan Allen, kind of a big deal that. Malcolm Floyd's coming back. Antonio Gates. Ryan Matthews. Danny Woodhead. They got Donald Brown to round out a serviceable running core against a lot of teams that don't play defense strong. Actually, another funny statement, one of the tougher defenses they just might play, not out of the NFC West, obviously, is the Patriots. That wears me out, too. Anyway.
And they also have the Ravens on their schedule as well.
Yeah. That old gray mule ain't what she used to be, though.
No, it's not. I said that, yeah. I said that last week.
We both said that last week, matter of fact. I'm going to go out on a limb and say at this point, I think the Ravens defense is worse, completely healthy, than the Patriots defense. That's why I said it! Wow, that's kind of scary, too. I might need to... I'm glad the break's coming up here pretty soon. I might need a moment to just really kind of figure out
what that one is.
I need some work with that. I might start anyone got a bag? I might start... with all that, I got the Chargers at 10-6 next year. I think that's good enough to shoot for a playoff spot in the AFC for certain, because I know the 10-win Cardinals last year didn't make the playoffs, but 10-6 overall, 4-2 in the division. Weezy, what you got?
10-6 also, but 3-3 in the division.
See, you know what? I bet you heard me say 4-2. You scratched it out because you knew. I knew. You copied. No, you knew. I copied. Wait. Dang it. This works a lot better when I don't mess up the spiel. You know that?
Yeah.
Let me try that again. You knew that I knew you were going to copy my paper again.
Fair enough.
Damn it. What's the record?
See, I think last year was a little fluke with him going 9-7. I actually have him going 7-9 this year because it is Philip Rivers.
Wow. He still thinks Philip's a fraud.
So I don't see them. I am going 3-3 in division. They're going to split in the division.
Yeah. I
think they're going to – they don't travel very well when they come to the East Coast.
Well,
they have to play down in Miami, which you don't know what Miami team's going to show up.
Yeah,
but they don't travel very well, so I got Miami winning that one.
Hmm.
So, and then also losing at Buffalo and New England. They got Baltimore and New England
and Denver
and San Francisco back to back to back to back.
You're not sure what you're going to get out of Miami, but you're confident in those Buffalo Bills, are you?
No, actually, I got them beating Buffalo.
Okay, I thought you said that the other way.
No,
that's
Baltimore and New England.
Okay.
Later... You know, the last five games of the season, they have Baltimore, New England, Denver, San Francisco, Kansas City. Those games right there
is a rough stretch.
Will put them out of the playoffs as I have them. I have them going 1-4 the last five games.
However, in a similar stretch in 2013, and go ahead and look it up if you don't believe me. You can check me out. They had to play both the Broncos and the Chiefs. And I'm going to say that they were 6-6 at one point. I could have that wrong. But we're still able to rise up, even with those two teams on their schedule, to sneak into the playoffs. Now, I hear what you're telling me about the Broncos, and they are truly intimidating. Don't get me wrong, Chris, that improved defense and whatnot. But they still beat the Chiefs and the Broncos when they needed to make the playoffs. Just because they have a tough schedule at the end, which, by the way, the Chiefs in Week 17, not intimidating me if I'm the Chargers. Just throwing that out
there. Well, their last five games last year was the Bengals, the Giants, Broncos, Raiders, Chiefs.
Three of those games last
year. So they won the last five out of six.
Right.
But they were on a three-game losing streak before that.
Well,
they lost to Washington and the Dolphins, so...
I stated the fact they were struggling before that point. I said that part. You're just reiterating that. I don't know. Anyway. Gentlemen, this one I don't plan to spend as much time on, but they did make some moves, so let's get that out of the way quickly. When it comes to the Denver Broncos, a lot of guys made the climb to Mile High to get their play in. They want a shot at that ring. Now, guys, the Broncos have been exposed many times in the media and on the field about their lack of defense. Hakeem Talib, T.J. Ward, DeMarcus Ware, all adjustments made therein. I'm going to make that bold statement that they might have improved just a little bit on that side of the football. And then, oh, by the way, in case you didn't think their offense was explosive enough, trade out Eric Decker for one, Emmanuel Sanders. First of all, a lot of people have been trying to tell me that Decker's a better receiver than Sanders. I'm not buying. I'm sorry. That's not where I live. Eric Decker's quarterbacks that he's faced, if you haven't heard the spiel, here it comes again. Kyle Orton, Tim Tebow, Peyton Manning. There is no middle ground here. We really don't know what kind of receiver he is. He's either played with garbage and not had super big games, or he's played with pristine and has shined very obviously. Okay, but Peyton Manning's also a dude that made a career out of Ben Utecht. Anybody know where Ben Utecht went after I just gave away the answer. After Indianapolis. You know Weasel?
Nope.
You didn't hear me just say it? This is why I need to pay attention.
Cincinnati?
Cincinnati, that's right. You never saw him play because he hurt himself. But anyways, I only know he hurt himself too because I was watching Hard Knocks. I'll be real. But, so Decker, we know that Sanders can get numbers in that squad out there in Pittsburgh who likes running the football more than they do passing it. Still got good numbers. I don't know. I think it's an upgrade. What do you guys comment on that? Sanders is an upgrade? Yes, no?
I believe it's an upgrade, yeah.
Bam,
Sanders was pretty solid for the Steelers.
Okay. Chris?
Yeah, they give them a little more speed. You know, Sanders brings the speed that Decker was just a little bit slower on.
I would even go as far to say with this concussion we were talking about with Wes Welker, which sadly may even affect his career. He may not play an entire season this year depending on how that comes out. But America's favorite tight end, Julius Thomas, and all the other receivers that they had, Demaryius Thomas, for example, they're still all right.
Yeah, don't forget about tight end Jacob Tiermey.
That's true.
That Peyton had over in Indianapolis.
Name. But, like, it's like they use the Force together. And I don't know. I guess that means Peyton Manning would be Obi-Wan. I don't know.
Right.
I think they're both old guys.
But, I mean, with Welker with his concussion, this is his third concussion within the last 10 months.
Yeah.
So he might be out for a little bit. But, I mean, you can have that Julius Thomas play in that slot. You can move him out, and you can still have Tiermey on blocking on the line.
That's a cure. Maybe. I take note there, take note there, Coach Fox. He's got something for you. Anyways.
But also, big blow right now is their kicker, Matt Prater, is suspended 4 games for substance.
Yeah. Pop quiz. More shocking. A kicker suspension or a taunting penalty on Peyton Manning during a preseason game. Weasel!
I say the taunting.
He says the taunting, Chris.
I say the kicker suspension.
You
don't really hear that many.
I'm going to blame Keith Vanderjack for this because we've seen drunk idiot kickers around Peyton Manning before. I'm going to say taunting by Peyton Manning is more likely, even though he taunted his own kicker, calling him a drunk idiot, back in the Indianapolis days with Keith Vanderjack. Boom! How often do we get to talk Vanderjack on this show?
Right. But, I mean, the Broncos, what they need to do is you just go, their next kicker is a rookie from Indiana. They should go after, they might be looking at the waivers, the teams cutting down. Mm-hmm. There is one, Jay Feely, just got cut by the Cards.
Interesting.
That they could use for the first 4 games.
I've heard worse ideas. Let's wrap it up, gentlemen. We're already a touch late for the break. I got the Broncos going 12-4, 5-1 in the division, probably dropping one to the Chargers. Weasel.
Optimism. 14-2, 5-1 in the division.
Damn, son. Chris.
I'll just go right between you guys. I got 13-3, but 4-2 in the division.
Okay, pinning the tail on that donkey. Fair enough. Let's, that'll do it for the AFC West. We'll have the NFC West on the other half of the break. You're listening to the National Gridiron Network, the Student of the Game show.
National Gridiron Network. Join as we tell you what is favorite NFL
or the NCAA.
Listen in. Preview every football game week by week to the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across your football landscape. NGN. Football talk. Just the way you like.
And you are back here with the Student of the Game. Of course, I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game. Here with me, Chris Rankin, of course, Weasel Whiz.
Yeah, boy.
Steven Weasel Hurley rounding it out there, the veteran spot. Guys, look, we picked this show to be the last of the preview shows before we do our playoff predictions next week. The big thing we do every Labor Day now with what the first week of September being the opening of the season, I guess, now, whatever. So the Labor Day tradition, air quotes, tradition, playoff predictions are next week, but we gave you one side of the Super Bowl. Now let's give you the winning side of the Super Bowl in the NFC West. Let's open up, guys. The Arizona Cardinals, another team, well, basically gypped on the strength of that poor call where Ahmad Brooks hits Drew Brees in the shoulder and that's called a helmet-to-helmet hit, which essentially gave that game to the Saints, which gave the Saints 10 wins so they could get past the 10-win Cardinals into the playoffs. Everybody got that? Good.
What I think about hits like that, it's the kind of thing is that I think they should maybe be reviewed personally, but I think a lot of refs, they make the call based on that their neck snaps back or something like that. I think they make the call if they think that they did a penalty or a dirty hit type of thing.
Well, I mean, I don't want to rehash that yet again now, but I think you're onto something there that there's an element of optical illusion there for the officials, but you'll never sell a review on that because everyone's going to say, oh, well, it already takes too long, dirt. I don't know. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it's never going to happen. Right, and take that for what it's worth, my man. Anyways, right. So the Cardinals, 10-win team last year, should have made the playoffs, I argue. Apparently, Weasel agrees with me. Just throwing that out there. There you go. I think Chris, would have been happy to see the Cardinals make the playoffs. Not necessarily ecstatic, but they belong there, you know. Next year, it's very interesting to see whether they'll go back. What worries me the most, though, is their defense. Darnell Dockett already out for the year on the defensive line. Okay, that's a problem. Their linebacker, Darrell Washington, out for the year on the strength of hippie lettuce. Wacky tabacky, if you will. I'm not going to say Josh Gordon because that was even more ridiculous, but that's a different topic. What I'm getting to is this. That defense is made less early on by two very significant NFL veterans. Defense is how you are superior in the NFC West. And if you can't, if your defense is just a little off center, if there's a little bit of an opening made, somebody in the NFC West is going to tear you apart for it. I don't know. Okay, guys, give me your feeling on the Cards. Are those two missing pieces going to be too much for them to overcome?
And you did mention, was it Carlos Dansby, right?
I did not mention Dansby. Yet,
okay.
No.
Well, he departed and he went to the Browns.
Yes.
So he was another one of those pieces.
Pretty big piece. I agree. So yeah, I absolutely. I mean, on the offensive side, look, Larry Fitzgerald, that's amazing. You know, Michael Floyd. He's pretty good, pretty good. John Carlson's a tight end, serviceable. I like that they have Jonathan Dwyer out there now. I think that's interesting. But Carson Palmer being the center of that offense, it's better than a lot of teams got, but it's not great. I just think they're still a middle-of-the-road team, and I got nothing to tell me otherwise.
They got they did get running back Andre Ellington, and so I think that's a guy that you know, people are looking at to pick in fantasy leagues, but his development, I mean, if he can, you know, grow into a, you know, a decent player and stuff, it'll make Carson Palmer's job a lot easier.
Sure, it would, but hey, I don't care who you are. If you're trying to think about Andre Ellington as a good fantasy pick in that division where you're facing awesome defenses six times a year, put the pipe down. You're a little high. I'm just saying. You could be, I guess that's one way to call it being high on Andre Ellington. Thank you very much. Chris, what do you? I mean, tell us what you got. How the Cardinals going to do this year?
Man, I don't. Yeah, I don't think they're going to do as well as they did last year because of the what they lost in the middle of their defense right there with the linebackers and, you know, lost Washington there. I got them going 7-9, 2-4 in division this year.
Apparently, I'm dyslexic when I looked at Chris's paper. I have 9-7, 4-2 in the division. I just feel like they're going to sweep the Rams. Weasel.
I also got 9-7, but 2-4 in the division.
Well, hey, fair enough there. And I think I'll put it this way, though. I still feel like the Cardinals are going to be in a lot of close games. They're just not going to win them. And, well, playoffs is not hand grenades unless you're in the AFC looking for that sixth wild card spot. Anyways, going over now to the St. Louis Rams, guys. We mentioned earlier, we'll say it again, Sam Bradford out for the year, ACL tear, devastating blow for the Rams. Weasel, what do you got?
Well, it's questionable because you have a guy like Sam Bradford. The guy was a former number one overall pick. And
nothing major, though.
It's like the last year and this year. I mean, this year you had quarterbacks such as you got Blake Bortles, you got Teddy Bridgewater, Manziel. Even a little bit later, you got Carr and the Rams didn't pick any quarterback up.
They didn't even bother going after Jimmy Garoppolo. For good
so, yeah, sake. Exactly. Yet it would be like, you know, some insurance. But right now what they're looking at as their quarterback is Sean Hill.
Sean Hill.
And I could see them trading for a quarterback, but if you're going to get one like from the Patriots, Ryan Mallett, or there's Kirk Cousins with the Eagles, I think it's going to be a second-round pick, at least.
I mean, Kirk Cousins with the Redskins.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Redskins will not trade away Kirk Cousins.
I'm sure Philly fans everywhere will love that you did that. I know, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm sure we really care about Philly fans here. No, not so much. But what I'm getting to is this. Yeah, it would be wise for them to go chase a quarterback, but let's be honest. I've called it for year after year. Bradford wasn't the answer anyway. And, oh, by the way, he's now officially achieved China doll status. Kind of breakable at this point. I mean, you know, I said it before today, so I don't want to be hearing about, oh, hindsight 2020, Kyle. No, no, it's not. You may be hearing me for the first time. I can tell you I've said it for the past 2 years. Chris, have I been saying this for years or not?
Yes, we've all been saying it since Bradford got drafted after his first rookie season. Not the answer.
Bingo. There, there you go. Weasel.
Well, I'd like to revisit a trade that was made in 2012.
2012? What's relevant about that year?
Well, the Rams actually, they, of course, you know, passed up, you could say, but they traded back so that the Redskins would receive at the number 2 overall pick, Robert Griffin III.
That's right.
So quarterback right there. And I'll go through this quick. Well, the Rams, what they received.
Before you jump there, considering the number of picks thrown at them, if I'm the Rams, it's pretty hard for me not to take that, .. But I see where you're going.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy is I'll run through this. So for the number 2 pick, for Robert Griffin III, first-round pick was traded back, and they drafted Michael Brockers. Second-round pick, they traded with Chicago, Isaiah Pede, and Rakevious Watkins. Second-round pick in 2012 was Jarenas Jenkins. And in 2013, they did pretty good. They got first round as Alec Ogletree, Stedman Bailey at wide receiver, and this guy named Zach Stacy.
Oh, yeah, he's high.
They traded up into the fifth round to pick him. And they also had the number 2 overall pick this year, and they just stood pat this time and picked Greg Robinson.
A big pickup for that, who was supposed to protect Sam Bradford until. So, right.
A lot of young talent, and it's something you could build off of.
Well, I'll even say this. A lot of the picks that were given up for Griffin didn't pan anything. And that's the sad part. If they'd actually gotten something out of any of that, whether it's a quarterback or not, they may have made the playoffs already. Now, considering their division in, maybe not. But I digress. I love the linebacker core for the Rams. You got Ogletree. You got Laurinaitis. Defensive line is pretty stout. Their secondary is good enough. But you look at that receiver core, I see a lot of guys who have underperformed throughout their career. Yes, Kenny Britt, formerly a Titan, is good. He's never on the field due to various, you know, run-ins with authorities and suspensions and things like that. Okay. Tavon Austin's great, but, you know, how much time has he really had in the league to work with yet? Stedman Bailey, injuries and stuff. The point is this. That team's a lot of missed potential. Okay? Unless you're and the tight end there is pretty good. Who's that?
Jared Cook.
Jared Cook's been good wherever he is. He's just unfortunately not on teams that have turned out to be all that great, unfortunately. Which, actually, Jeff Fisher has coached both teams that Jared Cook's been on. Interesting point, that. But what I'm trying to say is this. The Rams, due to the loss of Sam Bradford, I don't like their chances for the season in general, mostly because of the division they're in. I have them going 1-5 in the division, 5-11 on the year. Weasel.
Got 4-12 and 1-5 in the division.
Hate. 5-11 was me. Like, I had 4-12. I'm like, no. Actually, no, I did it the other way. I had 6-10 and took the game away. But what I'm trying to say is this 4-12? Ouch. Chris.
Yeah, with or without Bradford, their defense is still good. They're actually getting a couple players back from injury last year.
Mm-hmm.
I got them going 7-9, 3-3, because, I mean, they do play against the Bucs.
Yeah.
They also play against the NFC East.
Which, you know, I mean, let's put it this way. If you're anyone in the NFC East and you surprise any team in the NFC West, you're already looking pretty. I don't know how you're going to do it necessarily. Look, I mean, I think that Tony Romo gets entirely too much hate and is a better quarterback than anyone thinks. But where is your defense? Oh, that's right. DeMarcus went to Denver. Oh, crap. You know, it's kind of tough to get past that concept. But I don't know. I feel like any team who steals a game, if you're a member of the NFC East, looks like a hero. Any team in the NFC West, however, that loses to the East, that's going to be a pretty big step back.
Right. And I got the Rams actually stealing games from the Niners and the Seahawks. Like, they, you know, they play them very well because it is division. So I got them stealing those two. Did you get them up to 7-9? Otherwise, it would have been 5-11.
Chris was like, He wants them to do better.
It would have been 5-11 and 1-5, but then stealing them two games.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I'll leave it at that, man. I mean, good luck to Sean Hill and company, I guess. Bringing us to the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of motion on this team. First of all, look, a guy who often defends Colin Kaepernick. I think a lot of people are entirely too harsh on him. I think they keep forgetting about the fact that Michael Crabtree, Anquan Boldin, Vernon Davis were all three hurt at the same time throughout points in the season last year. And they still won as many games as they did and made it to the playoffs. And whereas one controversial decision, again, that same play with Breeze away from having home field advantage over the Seahawks, which would have changed the entire route to the playoffs, what I'm saying.
And the other key loss they had last year also was fullback Bruce Miller late in the season.
Correct.
You know, he got injured in week 13, I believe, in St. Louis. So, I mean, they didn't have him for that other Seattle game, you know.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Didn't really happen for the playoffs either.
For all the UCF fans out there, Bruce.
Okay.
Just saying.
No, hey, there you go. If you're a UCF alum like we are, hey, there you go. That makes sense. Okay, fair enough. when it comes to it, they're going to get Bruce Miller back. What I'm worried about is what's still missing. Navarro Bowman suffering that big injury at the end of the year. Defensive Player of the Year candidate. You know, and then, you know, you see more teams start. What's going to happen to Alden Smith? What's his situation going to be? You know, then you see Dante Whitner go. Now, granted, they got him back, replacing him with Antoine Bethea. Okay, fine. Carlos Rogers is gone. I still like their corner core with Culliver Cox and Tremaine Brock. But then getting back to Colin Kaepernick, the one thing I see, assuming offensive guard Alex Boone signs before the season starts and ends his holdout, he's got Stevie Johnson now, former number one receiver for the Buffalo Bills. Stevie Johnson, Anquan Boldin, Michael Crabtree, and Vernon Davis in a backfield featuring Frank the Tank Gore, or if you like it better, the Inconvenient Truth Gore, right? and a cavalcade of running talent with arguably among the best fullbacks in the league, Bruce Miller. If you can't produce now, you're the problem. And this is even the Colin Kaepernick defender saying that. That's where I'm at with that.
With one thing they did was they picked up wide receiver Brandon Lloyd. And Lloyd, he started his career off in 49ers, and then he played, I think, 8 years with 5 different teams, and now he's back.
And can't get excited about Brandon Lloyd, got to be honest. I mean, you know, people want to throw around the stat that the Niners have scored only 3 points in preseason. Could have been at least 10. I'm sorry, 9, because they moved the field goal distance back during the preseason. Except for the fact that Brandon Lloyd dropped the ball that really was right in his hands for a touchdown. So there's that.
Bitter?
I'm not bitter because it's the 49ers. I'm bitter just because I hate bad football. I said the very same thing on another show I'm on occasion on the Sports Chronicles Network, the Earnestly Speaking podcast. And I said the same thing about Brian Hoyer getting gypped by some Browns players dropping touchdowns. So you can call me bitter on that too, but it's because I hate bad football, Weasel. I'm just saying, which is why I don't watch too many Raider games. Boom! No, but what I'm trying to say is this, or Redskins games for that matter. Oh, he said it. No, but in all seriousness, I feel like the Niners are at a point where the expectations are so high, if they don't get the Super Bowl this year, it's going to be a letdown, period. And getting there is not going to be enough.
If you don't get there, the season will be a failure. So.
Or bust, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So, guys, let's shake it out. Who you got? What do you got for the record for the 49ers?
I have them at 12-4, 4-2 in the division.
Dang. Chris?
I got them going 13-3, 5-1.
Wow. I am the biggest hater in this room right now. 10-6, 3-3 in the division. Look, guys, it was 2 years ago that the 49ers played 75 minutes of football with the St. Louis Rams. Why am I to believe that they're going to necessarily steal both games, even without Sam Bradford in there? I've said it before that the 49ers lack discipline, and I believe they're going to give up one of the Rams games. They're going to win the games at home for the Cardinals and the Seahawks, as they often do. And that's what it's going to be. Of course, last year I think they swept the Cardinals, but that's a different topic. Anyway, with that, we come up to the Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks. Guys, I'm going to ask this question up front just so I don't think I'm the only one in the room who finds it crazy. True or false, Russell Wilson is a top 10 quarterback?
False.
I note the lack of hesitation in your response, Chris. Weasel.
I say top 15, so no.
So that is false.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've heard people out there try to tell me he's the ninth best quarterback overall. No. Stop it. Oh, wait, that's right. They're in Washington State. They're smoking the same weed. Boom! But, guys, I will say this. Looking at the preseason, the Seattle Seahawks franchise is looking pretty dangerous. Now, granted, we've seen teams go 4-0 in the preseason and then go 0-16 in the regular season. Thank you, Detroit Lions. Now, I don't think they're going to go 0-16, though. I'm just saying. I'll say this, though. If Marshawn Lynch gets hurt in the running back spot, Ryan Turbin, not really doing for me. Got to tell you, not somebody I think that can fill that void very well. I don't know. The dude isn't referred to as going into beast mode just because he takes up space in the backfield. I'm throwing that out there. I know that's a bold statement, but you know. But I'll give the Seahawks this much credit. Their receiver core is better than you think. Doug Baldwin, Percy Harvin, and Jermaine Kearse. Not to mention their tight end Zach Miller. When you put that out there, it's a better core than you think it is, even without Golden Tate. But the question is, can Percy Harvin stay on the field? I don't know.
He did get that touchdown in the Super Bowl kickoff return, but
true.
Thing about that guy is that he's like, you know, one of those playmakers that wide receiver, he'll do it. Kickoff returns, he'll do his thing. And I think people are going to – I don't think the Golden Tate was really that much appreciated in by people, by fans around,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's going to be a noticeable loss. And I think their wide receiver core, I mean, the guy that's going to make it, he can go to an upper level, would be Percy Harvin. So
Weasel states it very ironically that the guy whose first name is Golden will be better appreciated in a silver helmet in Detroit. Boom. There you go. Chris, the Seahawks, what do you got for me, man? Give me something.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Golden Tate right there with the receiver. I mean, he's their punt returner. All last year, he led the league in punt returns. Actually, I think he's second behind Trenton Holiday.
Broncos. I was about to say, you forget about the dude there.
Which, that was another loss, by the way, for the Broncos.
I was just about to say that. We missed that. And we really shouldn't. That's a big deal, him not being there.
Right. Their defense is still going to be good. It's their offense, nothing to write home about, I think. I don't think they're that great like everyone thinks they are.
I think it's with the offense, it can go either two ways. If Percy Harvin's in that offense, it can be dynamic. But if he's out, I mean, they're down one Golden Tate. And so that's why it's most likely going to come all down to Percy Harvin. So.
Well, and it's not that they were all that, quote-unquote, dynamic as an offense last year. I mean, they did spend a lot of time punching you right in the face and then letting the defense do some work scoring. Because, guys, remember, the Super Bowl, I'd hate to make everybody relive that boring, boring disappointment of a game that it was. I understand that. But I'm bringing it up to say that defense outscored that offense, right?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I mean, that's some 2002, 2003 Tampa Bay Buccaneer action right there. Okay? I mean, it's not. I'm not saying that Richard Sherman is the same caliber as, say, Derek Brooks. Different positions, I understand, but, you know, maybe he is. We have yet to truly see, but what I'm getting to is this, guys. One thing that I'm most worried about, if I'm a Seahawks fan, is these guys' psyche. as it were. You know, interviewing Richard Sherman in person, what I did notice about him is that he's very, he's very confident, obviously. And you need to be to make it as a player in this league in the first place. But you need to also know that everybody's going to be out there every day trying to knock you off. And I think that's the challenge. What is it they say? It's easy to attain, it's harder to maintain, right? Actually, I don't know if anyone actually said that, but it sounded pretty cool. Write that down, Weasel. I'm fan Wilder up in the speech. Write that down. Records, guys, what do you got? Chris.
I got them going 12-4, 3-3 in division.
Splitting. I might have copied off of your paper for the first part. I got the Seahawks going 12-4 as well. I believe I had them going 12-4 last year. Just like I had the Niners going 10-6 as well last year, I'm repeating them both this year, except this time the Seahawks will go 4-2 in the division instead of 3-3 as they did last year. Weasel.
I think the Seahawks and 49ers are going to match at 12-4, and the Seahawks will get the division win with a 5-1 record compared to 49ers 4-2.
5-1 record. What's the one, Weasel?
The one? I think 49ers.
Going to Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium.
Yeah.
The Mean Jeans, as they say. Very good. With that, that's good. See, Mean Jeans because Levi, anybody? Should have. Anyways, if you want to go ahead and check us out online, you can always find us on the NGSCSports.com. Of course, go to the Real Fan Sports Network on the internet as well. Hear us there doing our thing. And, well, we're in a number of other places too, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, iTunes coming soon. So, yeah, go ahead and check us out. We're a member of the National Gridiron Network. We are the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game. You can find me on Twitter at VSOTG. Steven Weasel Hurley. Drop it for him.
Weasel, VSOTG.
That's my dude right there. Weasel Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
And Chris Rankin. Give him the Twitter.
Rankin, SOTG.
Give him the Twitter. That almost sounds kind of like it's like a torture device. Give him the Twitter. No! Anyways, guys, I got to tell you what. It reeks of football, and that's a good smell, believe it or not. College football does start this weekend, so, you know, get your pennants and whatever ready. Get your tailgate on. But the week after, it's on like Donkey Kong. The season officially begins. We do our playoff predictions next week. It's going to be pretty awesome. Let us know what you think. Of course, fire tweets at us and all that other stuff. But until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. Class dismissed.